The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. Your almighty creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe and you're expecting something pleasant to happen when you die, you're in for a nasty shock. And then if you die as an unbeliever without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" On the other hand, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today's broadcast is The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, Part 2. Overview of the program. This broadcast continues to examine the miracle of Yeshua's death. We note that Yeshua provoked his death. It is stated that Yeshua could have called on 12 legion of messengers, angels, to rescue him. It is observed that Yeshua exercised iron will and self-discipline, and we are called to do the same. We note that Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, proclaimed Yeshua king of the Yehudites, or Jews. It is stated that the people made Yehoshua the offering for sin and the scapegoat for atonement. It is noted that all authority on earth was given to Yehoshua, and he is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. We look at the three objectives of Yeshua, and we note the three miracles of Yehoshua. We note that healing and deliverance as ministered by Yehoshua are Old Testament. It is stressed that the main reason Yehoshua came was to die that terrible death. A conclusion is offered that Yeshua had to die exactly that way in order to succeed in his mission. Finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See particularly the top line of the menu for a video about relationship and an article on the miracle of the death of Yeshua. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, the show and podcasts for previous broadcasts. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Questions from last week's program. We seem to be all confused. How can we see the light of things? Certainly there is a lot of confusion. The best suggestion I can give you is to get onto my website, read the articles that are there, watch the video at the top of the menu, and get the article on seven components of drawing close and put that into practice. Question number two, would that apply to getting out of all churches or just certain ones? Let me clarify. The word church is a meaningless religious term which actually means assembly. So when I say getting out of the church, I'm talking out of the formal Christian church. Yes, there's a lot of good that happens in the church, but the problem is that the people who are leaders are rulers, they dominate, and they are teaching lies. If you get out of that and start, let me put that to you differently. If you start taking seriously what I'm teaching here, you will come into head-on conflict with the leaders of your church. No two ways about it. I've been kicked out of a number of churches over the years by trying to teach them or share with them what Father was teaching me. If you leave the church and meet up with others who believe the same way and form an assembly that looks after your people, that's fine. But don't get into ruling, and you're not going to get it right staying in Christian churches or Islamic mosques or Jewish synagogues or any other formal structure that conforms to the religion as opposed to the relationship that we're talking about here. When you say on a stake, what do you mean? Question number three. Stake is simply a length of tree trunk. Yeshua was not put to death on a cross. That's a pagan satanic symbol. He was put to death on a tree trunk, chunk of tree. So standing straight up with both his hands nailed above his head and both his feet nailed below him. Question number four, this ark you speak of is the same as the one everyone tries to find? Yes, indeed. Very few people know it's been found. Six men tried to remove it from the cave where it was hidden, and they were all struck dead by the Almighty. Very few people know where it is. And pretty much nobody can touch it. Question number five. Are these Jewish holidays that you're mentioning? You would know them as Jewish holidays, but they're not Jewish holidays in the sense that they are Sabbaths given by the Almighty Creator. And yes, they were given to the Hebrew people when they came out of Egypt. But they are Father's Days, not specifically Jewish days, just to make the distinction. So there was no X marks the spot at that time. No, Father guided the various parties to put that whole scene together. The hewn cave under the in the solid rock beneath the Golgotha Skull Hill hill. The execution stake holes that were cut into the rock directly above the cave, the extra cave hole that was cut when Yeshua was put to death directly over the Ark of the Covenant. So Father was leading that the whole time. Are you speaking in tongues here? I'm guessing that you're referring to the somewhat strange names that I'm using. No, that's not tongues. Those are simply Hebrew names. Hebrew being the language that is closest to the language that Adam and Eve spoke and which has been preserved through the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. Another point, number eight, there are sites that say humans were much larger in stature back in time. That is true. Noah's house and grave have been found. He was about 18 feet tall. There is proof of giants all over the world. For some reason, people don't really want to talk about it. But it appears that Adam and Eve were probably at least 20 feet, in other words, about 6 or 7 meters tall. A correction that I just want to share with you regarding the limitations on being spirit-led. For many years, I've prayed along the lines, Father, help me to be led by your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. Recently, I made a very bad business decision, assuming that I was being so led. Initially, I was angry with Father that I'd made the wrong decision because I thought he'd led me. When I first got on my knees to ask what went wrong, he pointedly told me I did not ask his opinion, so he was not able to help me. In due course, I came to a place where I was calmer, and on further inquiring, he pointed out to me that we are called to rule on earth by his Spirit, which requires that, as he said to me many times, you are not a glove puppet, meaning that we have to exercise our own discretion and judgment. Accordingly, I want to advise a correction in the advice I've given on this program. Do not pray as I have indicated above. In other words, Father, help me to be led by your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. It's not a valid prayer. Note that for the same reasons, there are limitations on prayers like open the doors you want opened in my life and close the doors you want closed. Bring the people you want into my life and take the people you do not want in my life out. These prayers are applicable to new believers and inexperienced believers. They are not applicable as you grow and mature and are expected to take responsibility for your actions in life and in service to Father. It's really important to recognize that we must exercise discretion, judgment, and discernment in our day-to-day decision-making, both in general living and commerce and ministry. So my apologies if you've taken me at my word and have been praying as above. Returning to the miraculous death of Yeshua, the full article with the images is on the top row of the website menu. In summary, Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus, meaning Yah is salvation, incorrectly called Jesus, died on a stake, not a cross, exactly over the Ark of the Covenant that had been hidden roughly 616 years earlier by Jeremiah, in 589 BC, in a cave 20 feet below the execution site in solid rock. The earthquake as Yahushua died split the rock from the stakehold to the top of the ark, so that when the soldiers pierced the side of Yahushua after he died, blood and water ran out all the way down to land on the mercy seat of the ark. This ushered in a new priesthood, a new covenant, and a new atoning sacrifice for sin. All told, a major miracle of pre-planning by the Almighty Creator, with the full knowledge of Yahushua, This broadcast discusses the details of this miracle in some detail. Biblical accounts of the death of Yeshua contain a number of facts that do not seem important, such as the earthquake and the soldier piercing Yeshua's side. But in fact, these are all part of a miraculous plan initiated by Father Yah, the Creator, at least 1,476 years before Yeshua died. It's really important to recognize that Yeshua provoked his death. It's vital to recognize that Yeshua provoked his death. He repeatedly got in the face of the high priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, calling them whitewashed walls, overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple court, breaking their man-made laws, etc. It is vital to understand that Yeshua did this entirely deliberately in order to provoke them to kill him. Yeshua only ministered for 3.5 years. It's also important to note that Yeshua only ministered in the power of the Spirit of Yah for 3.5 years, a very short period of time. The longer he stayed, the greater the risk of sinning. He came with a very clear objective: live without sin, demonstrate what is possible, provoke the high priests, scribes, and Pharisees, and die on a stake at Golgotha. Simple and clear cut. Folks, think about it. Here's this young man from the countryside, comes into the city, starts calling the high priests whitewashed walls, overturns the tables of the money changers, breaks all of their man-made laws, assembles masses of people who hang on his every word. He was out to provoke them. Don't be mistaken about that. Yeshua could have called on 12 legions of messengers or angels to deliver him. It's vital to understand that as a friend of Yah, Yeshua was allocated 12 legion, that is 12,000 messengers or angels, who could have rescued him at any minute. It is vital to understand that Yeshua went to the stake entirely voluntarily and stayed till he died entirely voluntarily. See Matthew 26:53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of messengers? Folks, this is something I've spoken at length about being a friend of Yah, and one of the benefits that I didn't mention, that as a friend of Yah, in this life, you get 12,000 messengers to protect you and fight on your behalf. Not that I know what to do with mine, but I know they're there and they look after people who are close to me as well. It's an added benefit of becoming a friend of Yah. Yeshua exercised iron will and self-discipline. We're expected to do the same. Yeshua exercised iron will and self-discipline to go through what he went through and to die the way he did. He and Yah expect the same from us who claim to follow his example. And then the high priest proclaimed Yeshua priest. It's also important to recognize that Yeshua became the new high priest because the existing high priest proclaimed him priest when he mocked him and beat him as Messiah, the one they expected to come and redeem Israel. There is so much of Yeshua's death, what happened in the hours before his death, that is so important to understand. This is one area where the Bible is an important reference to see exactly what happened in the roughly 24 hours, not even 24 hours, between the time that that Yeshua met with his disciples, his followers, in the upper room, and the time that he died. All of it carefully orchestrated, carefully planned by Father Yah. Coming back to my earlier point, folks, being a believer is not a soft, namby-pamby thing. It requires discipline. You fighting against the forces of darkness. They will do whatever they can find to do to destroy you. You have got to walk free of sin. That in itself requires willpower and self-discipline. If you're going to start waging war in the spirit realm, you need to be strong spiritually. That takes time, it takes fasting, it takes prayer, it takes dedication. If you're going to qualify for one of the really high thrones in heaven, you're going to have to work at it in this life. It's not a doddle. Then Pilate proclaimed Yeshua king of the Yehudites, king of the Jews. It's also important to recognize that Yeshua became the king of the Yehudites because Pilate, the Roman governor and the ruler of the Jews, proclaimed him king of the Yehudites. Yohanan, John 19, verse 19 to 22, says, "And Pilate wrote a title and put it above the stake. And the writing was, Yahushua of Nazareth, the king of the Yehudites. This title then read many of the Yehudites, for the place where Yeshua was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Yehudites to Pilate, Write not the king of the Yehudites, but that he said, I am king of the Yehudites. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written." Folks, so important. Pontius Pilate was the governor of Palestine, Israel. He proclaimed Yeshua to be the king of the Jews, the king of the Yehudites, publicly at the site of the execution. He didn't understand that Yeshua would live again as that king. He thought he was just doing his thing. The high priests, etc., thought not that it was the end of things. Instead, what they did brought it all into existence. If they just let him live out his life, he probably would have sinned eventually, and then there would have been nothing to happen. The day he sinned, if he had ever sinned, would have been the day that he lost all possibility of becoming King of Kings. Then note that the people made Yeshua the offering for sin. Also, the people made Yeshua the offering for sin. Matityahu 27:24-26. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Yeshua, he delivered him to be impaled. Notice that Pilate proclaims Yeshua to be free of sin, which is necessary for him to be the sinless lamb of the offering. The people proclaim that Yeshua's blood is upon them and upon their children. This was necessary for an atoning sacrifice to be made. What is so important, and I hope by the end of today's message you'll have got this, all the way through this whole process, Yah was guiding people by his spirit. What Pilate said there was from Father. What the people said was from Father. It's written in the Bible that the high priest prophesied when he said that it is better than one man should die than that all the people should die. I can't stress this enough. There are people who get so offended about what happened to Yeshua, and they miss the point completely. Yeshua came to die this way. So important to understand that. Continuing, Leviticus 16, verses 15 to 19. "Then shall he, the high priest, kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the set apart holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the set apart place until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself, and for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before Yah the Eternal self-existing, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of it upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. So there's a whole ritual here that was given to Moses, Moshe, in the wilderness, when he first built the Ark of the Covenant and the tent tabernacle, which was the first tabernacle. And you can look at that and say, well, this is all very complicated. What does it mean? And ultimately, even then, Father was setting the scene for what happened with Yeshua. To get to a place where Yeshua could regain the authority that was lost to Satan when Adam obeyed Satan and ate the forbidden fruit. It's all so carefully knit together and planned, not random events. The people made Yeshua the scapegoat for atonement, reading further in Leviticus 16:20-22. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the set apart place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron the high priest shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. The high priest and the people fulfilled this with Yeshua when they beat him, thereby laying hands on him, and then took him to Golgotha, which was outside the city wall. So again, we go back a long time to the time of Moshe, Moses, and a ritual there that was symbolic. The thing to realize is this is all about prophetic fulfillment. This is all about spirit-led declaration. This is all about the authority of human beings to do things on earth and in the spirit realm, bringing these things to pass in such a way that when Yeshua died, he could fulfill all of them. And suddenly, in a matter of a few hours, the satanic realm, thinking that they had triumphed, destroying Yeshua, suddenly discover that no, he's instantly resurrected because he had no sin, and he has now become King of Kings, and he has regained authority over them. So powerful, so important. The people also made Yeshua the offering for a new covenant. Remember Exodus 24, verse 8. And Moshe took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which Yah the Eternal self-existing hath made with you concerning all these words. So the Yehudites proclaimed this over themselves, Matiyahu 27, verse 25, his blood be upon us, and thereby a new covenant was ushered in. So we see a new covenant, a new high priest, and a new atoning sacrifice. So all of this was required for a new covenant, for a new high priest, and for a new atoning sacrifice for sin. It is so important to see the perfect plan of Yah stretching all the way back to the time of Moshe in the wilderness in Sinai in 1446 BC. Yah made provisions through Moshe for Yeshua to fulfill the rituals given to Moshe in order for us to ultimately defeat Satan. Yeshua was party to all of this and helped to set it up before he came to earth as a man. So also so important to understand, Yeshua was right there with Yah all through this planning. He was part of it. He was the chief operating officer, the personal assistant, the executive assistant, the right-hand man, whatever you want to call him, but he was there in an executive capacity helping to make these things a reality. He had absolutely no illusion as to what was coming his way. When he came to earth, he knew from the very moment he was put into the human embryo that was conceived miraculously in Miriam's womb, that he was going to die at that place, at that time, in that way. All authority on earth. After he was resurrected, Yeshua returned and appeared to his followers on a number of occasions. Finally, he appeared and delegated his authority to them, as in Matityahu 28:16-20. Then the 11 who followed Yeshua went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Yeshua had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Yeshua came and spake unto them, and saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the set-apart Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It is vital to understand that this passage clearly states that all authority that was won by Yeshua as a consequence of his sinless life was delegated to those who follow his example and live lives without sin, such that they are called to exercise that authority. Be aware that if you are not without sin, you have limited authority, because the forces of darkness will contest and oppose whatever you command. Folks, that's so important. If you've got sin in your life, you're a servant of Satan. I don't care how close you are to Father. To the extent that you have sin in your life, you are a servant of Satan, and you have almost no authority over the satanic and demonic realm. They will just laugh at you and mess with you. Waiting for Yeshua's enemies to be made his footstool. Yeshua is now seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Hebrews 10 verses 11 to 14. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the Almighty, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The requirement is for us who believe to reach a point of living without sin, and thereafter taking authority over the forces of darkness and defeating them. Notice that there are about five passages in the Bible that quote this, that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. So if you're one of those people who say Jesus is coming soon, I'm sorry to disabuse you. That is not the case. He is waiting for you and me to make his enemies his footstool. And right now, it looks like it could be a very long wait indeed. If you want Yeshua to return, you have to get your life right. You have to get free of sin. And you have to start making his enemies his footstool. And that means you need to get into a large chunk of truth. You need to let go of all the false beliefs of Christianity and Islam and Judaism and all the other religions, and get to the real truth. There were three objectives of Yeshua. He came to earth with three objectives. One, to live a sinless life. If he had sinned even once, he would have failed. Two, to demonstrate what an anointed believer filled with the spirit of Yah and free of sin could do. Three, to die on the stake in the manner described here in order to usher in the new covenant, the new priesthood, and a new offering for sin. Again, people who say that Jesus did what he did because he was God in the flesh are just so far off the mark, folks. If you don't understand that Yahshua was 100% human, that he lived a life without sin for 33 and a half years, he didn't sin once, to demonstrate what was possible if you were filled with the spirit of Yah and free of sin, and then to die on the stake exactly at that location, exactly on that day, exactly in that way, in all the elements that we've talked about. There's no coincidences in all of this. The beating, the mocking, the crown of thorns, the signs above the stake, pierced with a spear, the earthquake, the crack, the Ark of the Covenant in the cave underneath, all meticulously planned, all meticulously choreographed, with one objective: to gain victory over Satan. And then we mess it up because we're not doing it. Moving on, the three miracles of Yahshua. There were three miracles in the life of Yahshua. Number one was the virgin birth with only the female chromosomes, a creative miracle less dramatic than creation of Adam and from the dust of the earth and Chava, Eve, from Adam's rib. But a miracle, but not a reason to worship him, not a reason to consider him to be a human, a pseudo, I don't know what, result of procreation between the Almighty and a human woman. That's an abomination, folks. Number two, miracle number two, Yahshua lived and died without committing a single sin. So he was instantly resurrected and became the most powerful being after Yah in all of creation. Folks, people questioned me some years ago when I said that it was Father's objective for us to live without sin. They said, no, that's not possible. It is possible. I've been doing it for most of the last 20 years. I've slipped here and there, and I've been judged harshly when I've slipped because I've been praying to be judged. The only way you're going to do it is to pray prayers like, Father, judge me severely, correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. And then be obedient and sensitive when you get judged. So I haven't lived for 20 years free of sin continuously, but whenever I've sinned, I've got judged, and that's not that many times. It is possible, and I know a lot more today than I did 27 years ago, and most of that is on the website. You can come and talk to me, learn from me. It's possible. Finally, miracle number three. Yeshua died exactly above the Ark of the Covenant, and his blood flowed into the mercy seat, thereby inducting the new priesthood, new covenant, a new offering from sin. And as we've talked repeatedly, a whole series of miracles in terms of lining that whole thing up. Healing and deliverance as ministered by Yeshua are Old Testament. People seem to think that healing and deliverance are New Testament things. Firstly, there is no such thing as an Old and New Testament. It's one progression. There are a series of major covenants, of which the covenant with Yeshua is a major one. But the important point to note is that Yeshua performed healings and deliverance before he died In other words, before any of the authority referred to above came into existence. So he operated as an Old Testament prophet in language you would understand in these matters. Therefore, while it is convenient to pray for healing and deliverance in the name of Yeshua, it is not prerequisite. If you have a close relationship with Father and you are filled with the Spirit, you can perform healing and deliverance without praying in the name of Yeshua. Otherwise, it's easier to pray in the name of Yeshua. And it's also important to understand, we've gone through a generation or a couple of generations, really, where there have been a lot of miracles performed. And Father has backed off on that now because pretty much all the people who experienced the miracles have fallen away. And Father is looking to people to have a relationship with him without all the trappings of the miracles, etc. To restate a point I've made several times, the main reason Yeshua came was to die that terrible death. Note that there are people who hate the Jews because they killed my God, Jesus. This is fundamentally incorrect. The principal reason Yeshua came at all was to die that terrible death. I hope that you've seen from the series that the death of Yeshua was planned by Yah, the Creator, to the finest detail, at the very least centuries before Yeshua came, such that Yeshua knew exactly what he was facing before he was born. He also knew that the reward, if he succeeded, was the highest throne in heaven for eternity. It's so vital to understand this. Folks, World War II, Germany, the Holocaust, people who used the Bible to justify vitriolic hatred of the Jews because they killed Jesus. Yeshua came to save the Hebrews, the Jews, the Yehudites. They did what they did because that's what they had to do. Without doing that, Yeshua could have not have become the new high priest. There would not have been a new covenant. There would not have been a new atonement for sin. They had to do what they had to do, and as I've shown you in several places, they were led by the Spirit of Yah to do those things. Yah may have stirred up demons or whatever to trigger that behavior, but initially it was initiated by Father because it had to happen. So in conclusion, without all of what I've spoken about in the last week and this week, Yeshua would have lived and died in vain. I hope that this broadcast helps you to understand exactly what Yeshua achieved and how he achieved it. I hope that this also clearly evidences to you that Yeshua was not Yah in the flesh, but 100% a human being, albeit a miraculously created human with no father. If you are guilty of worshipping Yeshua, I urge you to repent right now. Pray with me. Father Yah, I come to you humbly recognizing that I have been worshipping a man, Yeshua, Jesus. I confess that as sin. I repent. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to help me now to have a relationship only with you. I ask you to help me to clean up my act. I ask you to help me to meet the people I need to meet and for you to take the people that are not appropriate in my life out. I ask you to open doors that are appropriate for me right now and close doors that are not appropriate. Help me to find a new way. Help me to become a powerful servant. Help me to know you. Help me to become your friend. So important, folks. This recording will be on the website tomorrow on the Creator with Relationship with Creator Radio website. It will be on in about 24 hours. If you want to download it and get that prayer exactly. I urge you to pray like that. I really do. So in summing up, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I deeply hope that as you've listened to these broadcasts week by week, or even if this is the first one you've listened to, that you are at some level aware that a lot of what you've believed is mistaken, that a lot of what you've been taught is mistaken. Father wants each human being on earth to have a deep personal relationship with Him. That's why we're here. There is no other reason for being here. Think about it. Why would He go to all the trouble of creating this beautiful environment, even if it is pretty messed up at the moment? But you can see how beautiful it was. Look at the plants and the animals and the fruits and the flowers and the planet and the trees. And it must have been absolutely phenomenally beautiful before it was all mashed up in the flood. I really urge you to seek to become His friend. Key documents and a video on the main menu web pages. There's a video at the top of the menu, Why Seek Relationship? It's the most important message I've ever published. Then a number of articles that I'd urge you to read on the web page, on the main menu. The Miracle of Yeshua's Death. The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator. Recommended Worship. The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Where Will You Spend Eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, all one word, .org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they are all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1995 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or to give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly powerful. There's around about 1,000 web pages and over 1,000 articles on the website. Huge amount of information. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Somebody asked in the questions, how can we turn this around? How can I hope that it can be turned around? Folks, I'm optimistic. There's a huge amount of information available on the website. If you really go for it, you can grow. You can get to be a friend of Father's. You can get to be a powerful servant. You can get to be able to pray prayers that change the direction of nations. It's hard work. It's worth it. It's available to you, whether you're black or white or anything else, whether you're tall or short, male or female, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. He will meet you where you are today if you choose to seek him. I urge you to do it. Thank you so much for listening. Good night. Father, I